Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, 918 our time. It's the first Monday of the month. Doesn't seem like it, but it is the first Monday of the month. And on this foggy day, Marcel Wagner and his very own Rudolph, Joy Quintero Austin, have made it into the WTAD studios to talk about all things happening around the economic development efforts in the Adams County and Tri-State area. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
What was the highlight of your Thanksgiving?
Oh, man. I have a cousin, actually, in Addison who owns a bar, and our family is way too big to host in one place, so we had everybody over there, so we've had a ton of food, and I got to say, it's really nice to just have a home-cooked meal from the family.
That is right, and you didn't have to do much of the cleanup then, did you, Joy?
Not at all.
And what about you, Marcel?
Well, I spent Thanksgiving morning on an airplane flying to Sacramento, and then we went up to stay with my wife's sister and her husband in Cool, California, which is a town that never made it out of the 60s. But we had a very nice time, and then we were on vacation last week.
Good, good. Yes. Well, glad to see you both back here and well-rested and ready for all the events that are going to happen at the end of 2016 and the beginning of 2017.
How did that happen so fast?
I don't know.
Boy, this year just flew by.
It really did. It really did fly by. Let's talk a little bit. We'll talk about all the topics you want to get to, so make your list and check it twice. But I know that you were guest speakers at the Rural Development, Rural Affairs Council put on by Governor Bruce Rauner. And I mean, who better to be part of that than people who are right here in a very rural part of Illinois. So please talk about that and what you did, what you taught others, and what you learned.
Well, I was, I was away last week, so Joy got to represent Greta at that. And we were one of three development organizations from around the state that were invited to be a part of this. So I'll let Joy talk about the event and what we talked about.
Sure. So it's actually something that's headed up by the Lieutenant Governor. So she chairs the committee. They meet quarterly, and you have basically different departments around Illinois. So we had the Department of Agriculture, we had IDOT around the table, the Department of Education, just a lot of different people that get together and then that work separately on different task force throughout the year to just talk about ways that we can improve our rural areas in Illinois. So we had Vic Nerousis actually as our guest speaker, and he just talked about a lot of the business development and things that were happening around the state. And a lot of things that are, you know, that they're trying to accomplish sort of on that state level with legislation. And I was joined by Ryan McCready, who's the president of economic development for Decatur and Macon. And then I also was able to speak with Jonathan Helberg, and he's the executive director over at Jefferson County Economic Development. So it was a really great, we had a really great guest speaker, and it was a really good panel. We touched on everything from, as you know, workforce development and how to tie that in better with our education systems, all the way to, you know, they even asked us about what our thoughts on reform, because they're going to be in session for this last part of the year, and how we can really try and bend the ears of some of our legislators to make it easier for us as economic development folks to help retain our businesses here, grow them, and perhaps even recruit some new ones.
Now, Governor Bruce Rauner has his turnaround agenda. He has not been successful in getting the majority of it passed because, of course, we have this wonderful two-party system, and so we butt heads a lot, especially in Springfield, Illinois. But what kinds of things would you like to see happen as part of this rural part of Illinois? What are some of the three most important things that you hope the legislature can accomplish? If they don't get it, they're not going to get it done in 2016. I hate to burst your bubble, Joy, but in 2017, what are some things that maybe three things that really would help us the most?
Well, I know that we definitely talk about it a lot, but so much of what our communities need right now is that stronger tie between our education system and workforce development. It's something that just goes hand in hand. And we do a lot here, thankfully, at the Quincy Adams County tri-state level, when it comes to some of the help that we could get from our state and some of the things that they might be able to pursue on behalf of the rest of Illinois, I think that we could partner better and we can learn from a lot of different communities and other states that have implemented a lot of different things that just help to be more purposeful about the way that our workforce is forming now and the way that people seek their jobs and the way that they learn about available opportunities that are out there.
The community college program, of course, is critical to that, and we're kind of ahead of the curve there because John Wood Community College is well supported by our community. So we get local tax dollars. We capture about a third of all graduating seniors to go to school there, and they're building a new education center down in Pittsfield. So certainly the support is there for John Wood Community College locally. Is the support there for state funding, and is there any hope that there will be increased state funding? Because as you said, you know, John Wood kind of is kind of the lead dog on that sled. Whenever anybody wants a specific kind of training, or it's noticed that, like, we need more registered nurses, et cetera, John Wood is usually the one that takes the lead on providing that training. So are they getting enough funding?
Absolutely. I think that there certainly could be a lot more partnership. Right now, as you know, there are so many things that we have to work out with our state budget, and I don't know that they are going to receive what they truly need at the moment, but I think that this Rural Affairs Council has some teeth to it. I mean, it really is joined by a lot of different state agencies, so we're hoping that we can get that agenda across and really express the concerns that we have in our rural communities.
Okay, so education leads to a better workforce development. That is something you want to continue to see remain very strong here. What are some other things that you think are important to be passed out of the 2017 legislature?
I think one of the things is the one of the only state incentive programs we have for business retention and for business growth is the EDGE tax credit. And that's the tax credit that goes along with job creation, and that will sunset at the end of the year. And I think one of the concerns that I have is that, number one, that program needs to be re-upped, but I also think it needs to be reformed because it's not competitive with the states around us. It's strictly a tax credit program. You know, a lot of the other states have it as a refundable tax credit program. That would help make us more competitive, but at the very least, we need to see that program re-upped and hopefully reformed.
Well, now, you say that's going to sunset at the end of this calendar year?
Yes.
Am I missing something? They're not scheduled to meet again, are they?
Well,
I mean, they could be called into emergency session, but yeah. So it could be something that's easily brought back early in the 2017.
Yeah.
So that's, at this point, you're hoping that the lapse will be almost unnoticeable.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? You already mentioned it's not as good as some of our competitors in neighboring states. What's going to happen if that something like that can't be renewed? How does that impact your job with Greta getting people to come here?
It's on the attraction side. If we have companies looking at us, that's usually one of the toolbox items that we have to offer. And if it doesn't get reformed and reapproved in some manner, that's one less thing we have. And basically, what that says is, anything that we do for either attraction of new jobs from a new company or with a local business that might want to expand, we don't have that to offer. And so it comes back to anything we do, we have to do at the local level. So that's important for us.
Well, we know that those tax credits are important because Donald Trump saved Carrier. But the subheadline was Indiana Governor Mike Pence, who has not resigned yet and won't until December 13th because he wants to make sure that the state board that he totally controls gives the tax incentives so Carrier will stay. So, and I'm not saying that to put down Donald Trump. I mean, obviously, he brought it at a forefront. And, yes, his high profile saved those jobs. But what really saved those jobs was the state of Indiana and Pence deciding this one company, this one area out of the dozens of others that are shutting down, this is the one that we're going to give that tax credit to induce Carrier not to move to Mexico.
Well,
so,
and Carrier's an Indiana-based company.
Right.
And it was important. And we would hope that any governor would step forward when they have a major company like that talk about moving jobs out of the state. We hope that a governor would step forward and do that. So, that's part of the state's responsibility as a state is businesses that are strong. I'm sure if we had a local business here that had a lot of employees that said, you know, we're going to think about moving to another state or another country, step forward and do that. I mean, that's part of our responsibility is to bring that to the forefront and work with the state to make sure that they help out.
Well, the other thing is you have to know about it, and that's why it's so important you make your visits on a regular basis to all the existing employers.
Yeah.
In addition to trying to draw new ones in, let's not forget we grow what we have and make sure what we have is healthy and rich, and then that will automatically attract others. So we have seen some loss, you know, of jobs, and sometimes, let's face it, that's not anything anyone can prevent. It's just going to happen, and the powers that be that are not anywhere around here have decided that.
Yeah, and you know, our primary focus is on the businesses that are here. How do we keep them strong? How do we make sure that they continue to invest here in our community? And we look at things like what Phibro's done with their new facility that opened this year. I mean, that was a strong statement. The recent announcement by ADM, again, that's a strong statement. But we need to look at our total incentive package, because the business world is changing. The use of technology is becoming more and more prevalent. Companies are investing in technology to make themselves more efficient and more cost effective. And so we have to be able to respond to that. And we really don't have a lot of assistance either statewide to do that. But
yeah, our state, unfortunately, is kind of on the injured reserve list, and we don't like to say that. We don't want to be too negative, but you guys have to fight with that every day. You've been listening to Marcel Wagner, the director of Great River Economic Development Foundation, and Joy Quintero Austin, who's also with GREDF and who was recently at the Rural Affairs Council meeting. We talked about the need for great education to build workforce development in rural areas, the continuation of the EDGE tax credit. What maybe one more thing? And if you can't think of one, I can think of one, the property tax. Governor Rauner wants to freeze property tax, which sounds like a great idea if you're in an area where a sales tax or something else could maybe make up for that. But we're not a major shopping complex. We're a very rural area. And so a property tax freeze like that, is that good or bad on the surface for rural school districts, rural areas? You know, let's face it, if you're the Payson School District, I mean, besides the local gas station and convenience store, where are you going to get sales tax revenue? So how does a property tax freeze impact rural America, rural Illinois? Is that good or bad for us?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of times people think, okay, sure, I would like to save on my property taxes. But truly, when property taxes go up, I mean, it's something that really shows that there is that equity there. I mean, it shows the growth and of the community to know that assessed values are rising. So it is that sort of, I don't know, I guess, double-edged sword. Where you do want your assessed value to go up, but that also means that increase in taxes, but that also means the increase in the services that you have and the quality of life that you're able to live. You know, it's these simple things like, you know, we're not going to fundraise for painting stripes on the road, for instance, but those are the things that those types of taxes go towards. And I think that you're right. In a rural community, it can be a bit detrimental, or at least put us at a disadvantage when it comes to some of the services that we would like to see as part of our community that you don't pay any mind to until it's not there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to pay property tax. The one thing about property tax, I will say, though, is nobody forced you to buy a house that big. You know, your assessment usually goes up because you're property value rises. I know you don't get it till you sell it, and that may be 20 years from now, but the thing about sales taxes and other kinds of taxes are, how much more can the big box retailer sell? How much more can domestics, et cetera, down here on Main Street sell? They can't expect their sales to go up 10, 20% next year if there's no property tax, if there's a property tax freeze. So I think that's the kind of thing that this is why we have two Illinois, and I'm glad you went to the rural affairs, because, you know, the McDonough County school districts got together and they passed a sales tax. Well, the people passed it for them that said they would actually get some sales tax revenue, and they were smart. They did it for all the districts in McDonough County, because we all know the vast majority of money is spent in Macomb.
Right.
And you can't leave out, you know, if Quincy were to do something like that, you can't leave Payson and Camp Point and Mendon behind, yes. that and Liberty behind. So that's taxation is an interesting aspect of, you know, they cut the transportation budget all the time. Well, a lot of kids in cities can walk to school,
yes.
but you can't walk to school if you're in the Payson School District or the Liberty School District.
No.
I mean, that's impossible.
And childcare and transportation are two of the more important things when it comes, again, back to workforce development, when yeah. people need to get to those jobs.
Okay. So we don't have a budget. That's got to be very disappointing for anybody in any field that deals with
sure.
government agencies. What realistically do you think are the chances? Because, of course, Madigan got reelected, so he says, I win. Rauner got some extra seats in the House, so
right.
he says, I win. Neither of them has much incentive to back off the dime. I mean, really, are we literally faced with this situation where if one of them doesn't budge, and I'm not saying either one should. I mean, you know, they both were elected in their own rights to push forward their own agenda. But this could literally be another stalemate.
And I think that's what's going to happen. We haven't seen any indication that there's going to be any movement. You know, how it affects us here locally. I mean, it affects a lot of the other organizations. If you look at Two Rivers and other organizations that get state funding, and John Wood and Quincy University, they all get state funding. So it impacts them, you know, greatly.
Yeah. Well, it's a snowball, and it's at the top of the mountain and starting to roll downhill. And
yeah.
I don't know. We'll try to stop it if we can, or maybe deflect it to a different course. But eventually, I mean, this is really the sad part of life. We have been children who have been overindulged, and now it's time to pay the piper. And no matter how you think that should be done, the Madigan way or the Rauner way, it's got to happen, and that means not everybody's going to be happy. In fact, some of us are going to be quite unhappy. But hopefully, things like the Rural Affairs Council will at least give people, like the lieutenant governor, who I imagine doesn't own a pair of overalls and has never been on a pig farm, right?
No, she probably has not, although she did participate greatly in a lot of the local agricultural events that have been happening. So she's getting her education for sure on that.
So she understands that there's a whole part of the world she doesn't know about in Illinois, but she's willing to learn about it and to take those concerns to the governor.
Most definitely. And to be quite honest, we bonded on that because I know that I'm a Chicagoland girl, yep. but, you know, you really don't realize it until you live and breathe the rural communities of Illinois.
And you know what? It's true. We can't expect people who have never experienced our lifestyle to understand our problems, but we can teach them. The same way that you have an understanding of what it's like in suburban Chicago, for example, we need to be aware that they have a point of view as well, and that the only way we're going to get benefit for both is if we both can bend a little bit to each other's will. So that was a good lesson to be learned at this event. It's time for us to take a break. It's the first Monday, and we're always talking with representatives of GREDF. If you have a question or comment for Marcel Wagner or Joy Quatero Austin, please give us a call right now at 1-800-228-WTAD. That's 1-800-228-9823 or 223-9300, and we'll be having you up first when we come back from this break. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We've been talking a little bit about Joy Austin's appearance as a panelist at the Governor's Rural Affairs Council recently for Illinois, and we just came off of the Tri-State Summit. We talked so much about it leading up to it, but I think it would be unfair if we didn't give a little wrap-up. First of all, you had one of those battery-operated cars, or what was the deal there? Alternative fuel cars? What was happening there? Who got a ride in that?
Yeah, we had actually a 2015 Tesla on display to showcase the autopilot feature, because technology and transportation was one of our main focuses. We just wanted to show what each of the states were doing to handle this new technology that is already here. A lot of people think that it's something maybe that's in the distant future still, but to be honest with you, it's right at our doorstep. So our states are looking at things that they can do to improve the roadways and to work with businesses, because we've got some test drives already with some of our trucking companies with autopilot feature. So we just wanted to showcase what does that really look like, and there were a few different people after the summit that stayed behind to take about a 10-minute tour in the vehicle to really just, again, see what is it like when you're in an autopilot car.
What is it like? I mean, is it scary? Did you get in it and let it drive you somewhere?
I actually let our guests get in it, okay. So I did not get in the car.
Well, there was recently Anheuser-Busch in Colorado had a test drive with one of their semis. They had a 100-mile test drive with a truck loaded with their product, and it's coming. It's going to happen. In Iowa, they're taking a section of the highway up there north of Cedar Rapids. It's going to be a test run for some trucking experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to look and see, well, this is going to happen.
You know, it's kind of intriguing because we've having so much trouble getting truck drivers. You know, if truck drivers were abundant and very cheap labor, people wouldn't be developing this technology. But these trucking companies are looking ahead and saying, look, you know, we can't get qualified people. We can't pay them enough to make, you know, to make them happy to stay and us to make a profit. So it's going to, you know, but this, again, will be fantastic in one way and just god-awful in another. Because if you're a truck driver, you know, when you retire, you probably won't be replaced.
Well, I don't think we'll ever see that.
It won't be 100%, I understand, but there's going to be a lot.
And it'll be in certain applications. It'll be for the line haul, for a point-to-point line haul,
right,
where that will be applicable. But
not much thinking will be involved.
It goes
from warehouse A to warehouse
B. Absolutely. It'll be a different kind of education. Autopilot does not necessarily mean that nobody's actually in that driver's seat. It is just that technology that's being given to people to perhaps even make the job a little bit easier. So the car itself, although there is a feature called Fetch, at which you can be at a location and literally tell the car to drive around the corner and fetch you, but when it comes to the autopilot feature itself, somebody is still definitely in that driver's seat. There is still something that is in the car that you are required to still touch the steering wheel every, say, 10, 12 minutes. It is a very unique feature, but certainly it doesn't mean that it's driverless.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, but you got a chance to see what, I mean, I think about this, Joy. You'll probably remember that. When this becomes the norm, you'll tell your kids, I remember
when I had to steer my own car,
you know. So these things are coming. Other than that, I was very interested in that. What other kind of hit the highlights of the Tri-State Economic Development Summit?
Well, we had Jay Williams, who was the Undersecretary of the Department of Commerce, came and talked, and he gave a very, very strong presentation about what's coming up with the Department of Commerce and the Economic Development Administration. Of course, that'll all change now with the change in Washington. So he was kind of, I think, somewhat on his farewell tour.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very, very strongly complimented our region for getting together and doing an ongoing program like the Tri-State Summit. He said the 20th anniversary, he said that's really remarkable that you'd have three states and 36 counties come together and continue to do this. He said that's how regions are successful. I think for me the highlight was the workforce presentations. We had Deb Lyons from ACT, who's their workforce development specialist. She came and gave a presentation about what the future workforce is going to look like. And then we heard from General Mills down in Hannibal. We heard from Blessing Hospital and from Great River Hospital Systems up in Iowa. They talked about their workforce needs. I mean, those were really outstanding presentations. It shows the passion that our local employers have to help with workforce. What General Mills is doing to make sure that they have an outstanding workforce. For what Blessing talked about, how they recruit and how they really nurture their workforce. Mm-hmm. It was really a very, very powerful part of the way to end the day. And I think it brings a new dimension. We want to look at doing some regional workforce initiatives now, and that'll be something that'll be starting after the end of the year. I think also the awards that we gave for broadband in rural counties, Adams Fiber and Rural County Electric, have done tremendously important things in continuing to bring high-speed fiber to rural America, yeah. And that's what we need. That's what we need to have.
We just hooked on. Well, I thought it would never get there, but we finally hooked on to our fiber. And boy, I tell you, that brand new TV we bought a year ago. Now I finally know what the picture really looks like because we finally have the picture that matches all the doodads that we paid for. And the internet, I never go on it at home, but my husband says it's better. So yippee-yay.
Yeah.
And the only bad thing is we don't need our landline anymore. So goodbye landline phone, you know, but there's a savings every month. So kind of interesting. Well, one of the things that Gredif works very closely on is workforce development. We do want to give a little preview here. There's a class coming up Wednesday from 11:30 to 1:30 at John Woods Workforce Development Center. It's $40, but that includes your lunch. And it's a little cyber attack prevention seminar, how hackers and organized crime are breaching business servers and turning cybercrime into a major source of income. So if you're worried about this, call the Workforce Development Center today to get registered for that. And this is a little PR plug. I'll read it exactly as written because this is what John Wood says. John Wood is the educational link between business and community. John Wood collaboratively creates innovative and relevant academic and training programs with business leaders to educate young people and the workforce for today's needs and tomorrow's opportunities. And that's what you've been working with them on, and I think it's a wonderful synergy that we have there.
It's all about the partnerships. I mean, Gredif is not the standalone organization that handles workforce or business attraction or whatever. It's done as a partnership. And we do it with the city, we do it with the county. That's what makes us successful as a region. And I think we need to keep that in the back of our minds. We're coming up to the end of the year. We'll have our annual meeting coming up in January. And we're going to talk about really the power of partnerships. And that's, as we look at our new strategic plan going forward, that's a critical part of it. Workforce is going to be a major part of our new strategic plan. Business retention, a major part of our strategic plan. The reality is, in terms of business attraction, while it's something we'll have to do, until we become more competitive as a state, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to continue to attract new business. However, if we're making progress on the new port, if that comes in, that gives us a very, very unique tool to sell. So we're always optimistic. We have to be as a development organization, but I think our local business community remains strong. We see new investments. We see ADM continuing to invest. We see Prince continuing to invest, or Fibro.
And yeah, we see just contractors fixing up these loft apartments. We just had the loft apartment tour.
Right.
And, you know, again, that's small potatoes in some ways to people. It's not going to employ 1,000 people, but, you know, it employs people in the construction trades, and it gives market-rate affordable apartments. I tell you what, I wanted to move into one of them. I mean, forget property tax, I'm moving. Yeah. So, unfortunately, they do not have stairwell accessibility to my knees, but that's just a personal problem. Yeah. So, well, we've got to take a break. When we come back, our remaining moments, and I will ask, of course, the question I always ask, what breaking news are you going to have for me today on the Mary Griffith Show? And we'll see if Marcel disappoints me bitterly again.
Well,
or if he'll come up with something. More in a moment.
Well, be prepared to be disappointed.
Oh, darn you.
Breathless.
We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Every month, the first Monday, I invite Marcel Wagner to come. He sometimes brings joy with him, both physically and literally. but he has left me many times bitterly disappointed that no news is ever given out on the first Monday of the month. So once again, to disappoint me, I understand. Tell us about the next big factory expansion, retail shop. What's happening?
Prepare to be disappointed. I really there's nothing I can really talk about today. I will say that we have two other things coming up this week. One thing that we need to look at as a community is how to attract more foreign direct investment. And on Thursday of this week, I'll be going up to Springfield. The state has a number of foreign offices all around the world, and all those reps are here this week. So I'll be going up to meet with them and talk about how we can get more active in terms of international business attraction. And then on Friday, we go to the Community Venture Network, which is a twice-yearly meeting where there's about six or eight They're not startup businesses, but they're second stage businesses that are looking to locate in the community, and we'll meet with six of those on Friday. We've had these meetings before. We've had people come and look at our community, and so we're excited about that.
Okay.
But we're looking at how can we work more with international business potentially for next year as well.
Well, I guess the massive crowd just wants to thank you for a Dunkin' Donuts. So, you know, I mean, small victories.
And we will take zero credit for that because we had nothing to do with it, but we're very glad it's here.
But we will partake in their happy hour.
We will, yes.
Well, you know, now that's interesting because like you said, now people say, oh, you have to have this, and we do. We do need economic development. But sometimes this stuff just happens because somebody likes Dunkin' Donuts and they move to Quincy, Illinois, and they're one here.
We're an excellent retail regional market. So
Very good. Well, thank you very much. I'll look forward to whatever announcements you have to come, and I'll look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Yes.
Thank you,
Mary.
Very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.